Let's get to the Weekend Witness.
It's the Weekend Witness. Give half a call on 1300 652 927 and tell him what you witnessed.
Do you see what I see? Well, probably not, but I want to know what you see. I would like to know what that is. 1300 652 927 is the number to call. 0416 90 50 52 via the SMS. That's your challenge today. I want to throw a couple at your early doors with things that I saw. I saw one of the most disgraceful things you can do on a cricket pitch. Pulling up when you're going to get to the non-striker's end or to get to your crease. Now, we spoke before about things that you don't want to have happen to you, and Harry Souter's own goal for Leicester was one of those things. But I would have been almost 100% sure that had the Scorchers lost the Big Bash final, Stephen Eskenazi would have been sitting in the fetal, lying in the fetal position in the corner of the Scorchers dressing room, rocking back and forward, possibly for 6 or 7 weeks. As he got the ball to just in front of square it was, called the run, got to the bowler's end, the non-striker's end, pulled up about 3 metres out, didn't ground his bat and got run out by a bee's diaphragm. He would have been feeling as crook as anyone's ever felt in a game of cricket, I reckon. Horrible, horrible moment from Stephen. Now, it was a bit dramatic with the most disgraceful thing before, but it would have been a sickening blow, and that young man would have felt horrendous had the Scorchers not been able to get over the line against the Brisbane Heat. So, ground your bat, Stephen. That's what I saw this week in the world of sport. The other thing I saw that I think was fascinating, I'd love to be able to get him on. I don't think we'd be able to, but we'll have a go. Valentino Rossi, the two-wheeled MotoGP superstar, megastar, was up at Bathurst driving in the 12-hour race yesterday as part of one of the teams up there. I must admit, that story had gone past me or hadn't hit me. But when you've got a world global superstar like Valentino Rossi hanging out in a different sport, now we know that motorcyclists have done the whole supercar thing and motor racing thing before in four wheels. Wayne Gardner comes to mind straight away. But to have a megastar like him on our own soil is something that should have got more coverage, I reckon. So Valentino driving up at Bathurst was something else that I witnessed on the weekend. Let's find out what you've got for us. Juppy is on the line from Bendigo. Good morning, Juppy.
Morning, Daniel. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, sir.
What I witnessed over the weekend was we lost the goat.
Well, where'd it go? Was the gate unlocked?
Well, we were 30 seconds into the highest drawing WNBL crowd of all time there at John Cain Arena.
Oh, yes, that goat.
And then the great Lauren Jackson suffered a partial tear to her Achilles, and for a 41-year-old, I'm slightly older than that myself, I know that I wouldn't be coming back from a torn Achilles. So
not impartial.
That's more than enough at my age, thank you, Harf. Yes, it's very difficult to see Lauren getting back on the court now. I think, especially towards the end of that game and afterwards where everyone was paying tribute, I think she realised that this was the end. So, yes, we saw the we lost the goat there on Saturday night.
Yeah, so a partial tear to her right Achilles. 61 seconds in, Juppy, they're telling me off the newspaper this morning. 61 seconds into the game between the Southside Flyers and the Sydney Flames, which is a bit sad because, as you say, it was a record-breaking night. 7,681 people packed Melbourne's John Cain Arena, which is the highest WNBL crowd ever recorded, which is magnificent. And part of it was to go and see Lauren in action. Part of the sell was for that, which is fair enough because she's been some sort of revelation since her comeback, no doubt about that. The amazing part of this, Chuppy, not just the fact that it was a bad finish, but since December 8th, she's been playing with a fractured foot that requires surgery. So she'll be able to get that done at least now with that that partial tear. There's no surgery required for the Achilles tendon itself, they tell us. That'll just heal. But we might have just seen the end, once again, of the greatest female basketballer, slash up there with the best basketball player we've seen in this country ever, Lauren Jackson, the impact she's had. So, yep, nice work from you, Juppy. Good opener from you. A good opener for the Weekend Witness. Speaking of the Bathurst 12-hour duration event with Valentino Rossi, what about this conversation with Kenny Hubbell from SunEngie One Racing after the race?
Luca and Jewel, just drove the balls off this car, and I'm just so proud of him. I said something last year on TV. They told me not to say it, so, but you know what I'm thinking. And thanks to Mercedes-AMG, and thanks to the town of Bathurst. This is the greatest, and I wanted to win outright. And, yeah, you know, I drove really well. I was proud of myself, and it was tough because I had old tyres from Luca when I got in. And I'm just really proud of everyone, proud of the team. Thank you.
What are you going to do with the tyres that come off that car? Because they deserve something special.
Well, first I'm going to run around the track naked. and then after that, I'm going to drink a lot tonight.
Congrats, Kenny.
Kenny up and about. Kenny and Lucas. Luca winning the Bathurst 12-hour yesterday from Sunday's AMG Sun Energy One Racing. He drove the balls off that. That's what he did. That's what he told us. He drove the balls off that. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you do that. But however you did it, do it. Kenny did it. And he's going to have a good time running nude up and down the straight at Mount Panorama and drinking a lot of lemon, lime and bitters last night, I'm sure. Well done to Kenny and to Luca and for Sun Energy Run Racing. Al.
Just got some breaking news being reported by Chris Haynes. Kyrie Irving has been traded to the Dallas Mavericks.
Dallas Mavericks? Wasn't he going to L.A.?
There was talk that he had an interest in L.A., but there was also developed across the weekend that the Mavs were interested, so he will be teaming up with Luka Doncic in Dallas.
All right, well, I can tell you that Dorian Finney-Smith, Spencer Dinwiddie, some fantastic names, a 2027 first-round pick and second-round pick going to the Nets as part of that deal. Now, I don't know who those other two dudes are, and a first-round pick 5 years in advance is a bit much.
Is Josh Green part of the trade as well?
Because
he's Australian.
According to Wojbomb, Adrian Wojnarowski from wherever he's from, that is not the story at this stage.
Well, I hope that's the case because he's doing some good things in Dallas and going very well, the young Australian. So hopefully he can stay there with Kyrie and Luka.
What about that? It seems decent a complicated backcourt. Soul. Oh, he is. Complicated soul,
man. It's a decent
Kyrie.
Backcourt.
All right, well, that's big news. Kyrie's off to the Mavs in the world of NBA. I wonder what that does to the Brooklyn Nets winning championship opportunities this year. Craig's in Mount Martha. He's on the line. Hello, Craig.
Good morning, Half. And just got to say, I've been guilty of that nerd thing and the drinking thing over the years a couple of times. So, we're only human from time to time. And when you get a few years to do it, it can happen in the moment. But anyway...
Have you driven the balls off a car?
Oh, look, I wouldn't say I've done that. I might have probably a bit more interested in the horse racing than the car racing, but, you know, I can see how people are passionate about that sort of thing, and it can happen.
Yep, right. What was your witness on the weekend?
Oh, look, I've just got to, Lord, I just wanted to mention the ability of jockey Caroline Heffel. I just think she's something and a bit. She's still claiming too, and she look, you know, you compare her, with the Jamie Carrs and the other female jockeys, and even the male jockeys, she just sits on a horse beautifully, and she makes the horse run. She just she's kind to her horses. She puts them in the right position. I can't remember a bad ride of hers. I could be wrong. You know, a few trainers out there might say different, but I'd have her on one of mine any day of the week. You know, she's going places, I reckon, Carly.
Well, she had a win on the weekend with Hennessy Ladd. It's Sandown, I remember that, and I saw her through the week, having a few winners. Robbie Griffiths seems to have a great affiliation with Carlene, doesn't he?
Well, I'll tell you, he does, Huff, and she had a win on one of his at Salius, the Belvago. So, you know, I looked at her last 50 rides and compared her, you know, to a few other jockeys, and pound for pound, you know, she's actually picked up a check in 47 of her last 50 rides, which is not... it's just saying that, you know, even some of the lesser checks when she's sort of run out the back a bit, but she's just very kind to her horses. And, you know, if you're an owner, you get a good run for your money with a jockey. This is all I'm saying.
Yeah, good little pump up there for Carlene Heffel. Well done, Craig. Appreciate your witnessing on the weekend. She's going all right, too. You're spot on. She's going very, very well. Matt's in Lilydale. What'd you witness, Matthew?
Yeah, g'day, Half. The final of that... the big back final was unbelievable, the ending of that. But Cooper Connolly and Ashton Turner, the clutchness that they showed in a grand final was, I thought it was sensational. But the one thing I couldn't figure out was, in the previous game, the Brisbane Heat had bowled Nessa second last and then left the young bloke, Spencer Johnson, for the last over.
Yep.
When they've been in sort of the exact same position, sort of they needed needing to defend 20 off two, but in the grand final, they swapped it around. I couldn't get my head around that.
I must admit, and they were talking about this in the coverage, and I'd love to get Mark Waugh's take on this later on when we chat to him, about which order they would have gone with. I think in the commentary box, they were split. That one of them wanted Nisa with the last over, one of them wanted Spencer Johnson, as it happened in the final previously. I must admit, I was thinking Spencer Johnson might get the last one too. 20 to go off two. Although I think in the end, Matty, the 18th over from James Baisley was the killer. That was the one where he got hit for. I think it was 18 or 19 off that over, and that was the one that really gave the momentum back to the Scorchers. Cooper Connolly went berserk.
Yeah, 18 runs off the over. I think
that'll
cook them.
Yeah, I reckon you're right. But we'll have a chat to Mark Waugh about that, Matty, because I must admit I was a bit surprised too that Spencer Johnson, the big left arm, I was sending them through about 149, 150 at one stage in that final on Saturday. I didn't get the last over. We'll see what Mark Waugh thinks about that a little bit later on. Michael's in Essendon. Hello, Michael.
G'day, Daniel. You were talking about the relief that the Perth batsman had. Well, I actually Googled the definition of relief last night.
And, did you? Must have been busy.
And up popped Craig Hutchinson's face.
Very good, Michael. Very good. Of course, Hutchie owns the Perth Wildcats, or his company, or whoever it works, owns the Perth Wildcats. And as we discussed, I think it might have been late last year, he was public enemy number one there for a bit, wasn't he, with the way the Wildcats were going?
Well, yes, that was because they missed the playoffs for the first time in 35 years, which just coincided with his first year of ownership.
Yes.
Seriously, if they had missed the playoffs for 2 years in a row, he would have been marched out of town.
And they made it by 0.06%.
Which equates to one bucket.
One bucket. Last two free throws from Brady Manick. Hit a pair of them late in the game. Give him a 12-point win over Sydney, which was 0.06% ahead of Melbourne United's percentage. I think, and this is probably another topic we could throw out there, that percentage should be involved in every sport. We have it in lots of them, but every sport needs a percentage factor on the ladder, I reckon. If there's things are split points-wise, percentage should be a factor. It would keep things interesting all the way through, I reckon. Good call, Michael. Thank you for that. You are in the running for the double pass to Devil Bend, the magnificent golf course down there in Muraduck, devilbendgolf.com.au. There's some excellent witnessing on the weekend from our listeners this morning. Well done. Keep them coming through via the SMS if you want to as well. That's not a bad idea. We can just filter them through the program as we go. We heard the Bathurst 12-hour interview with Kenny Hubbell before. That was a pretty good interview, I reckon. What about this? As someone who does this every now and then as well, as hosting events and introducing people, sometimes you just miss, Al, when you do the introduction. What about this from Giselle Zarua, who was introducing Daniel Ricciardo at the Red Bull season launch across the weekend? She just missed.
And one of the friendliest drivers in the F1 grid, Daniel Ricciardo, to Oracle Red Bull Racing.
She just missed. Like, she wasn't far off, Al. She wasn't far off. I don't know how you recover from that one. She bounced back. She kept going strong. Sometimes that's all you got to do.